Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Ontario Society of Occupational Therapists New OTs on the Block podcast, a space where we discuss everything that new occupational therapy graduates need to know to transition into the workforce. My name is Lindsay, and today I'm here with Christy Brenchley. Christy is an occupational therapist and the executive director of the Ontario Society of Occupational Therapists. She is a passionate advocate for the profession of occupational therapy, a fearless leader, and a visionary. I'm very fortunate to have her as my mentor and role model for my placement here at OSOT, and I'm so thankful she could be with us today. So thank you, Christy, for making the time and sharing your thoughts with us.
It's really fun to be here.
So today we're going to be talking about the profession of occupational therapy and what professional promotion looks like, because let's face it, OT is not as well known as we would all like it to be. So I actually have a really interesting example of this. When I was on my placement, there was an instant where a client asked me, they're like, oh, how are you liking physio? And in that moment, I was like, do I engage in this conversation right now, or do I just sort of laugh it off and walk away? And I think a lot of other OT students may have had this happen to them and can relate to it. And I think it can be a little bit frustrating sometimes to have to constantly explain what OT is and explain that it's not physio and that it's not all about going back to work. So I was just wondering, Christy, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, here's a good can of worms. First of all, Lindsay, I totally agree. I think we need to look at how we more effectively achieve a public awareness and understanding of occupational therapy. I have to say, I think that we would not be alone in feeling that way. I think many health professions actually feel the same. They'd like to be even better known or understood. So I think we need to put in perspective our relative limited public awareness. People tend to know about things that they need to know about. And I think if we talk to folks that have engaged with occupational therapists, save for your example, which we better come back to, they probably have an idea of what occupational therapy is. That said, I can appreciate that it is frustrating. At the same time, I hope that we as individual occupational therapists and as a profession can kind of turn that frustration into motivation to do something about it. Because at the end of the day, I do think that we need to own that if anybody's going to change the public's awareness and knowledge about occupational therapy, it's going to have to be us, both as individuals and as a profession.
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky because when I think of professional promotion, I think of these really big scale projects that are beyond what maybe I can do on my own. And so I sort of brush off that responsibility and I'm like, I don't need to be doing that because that's something that's beyond me. So I was just wondering, like, what does professional promotion look like and whose job is it to be doing that?
So I think that's a great place to jump off because I think there are many occupational therapists who, like you, think that marketing is the big M. You know, think of television commercials or radio commercials, big billboards, signs in the subway. You can probably think of other big marketing examples. And these can be terrific ways to promote any product or any profession. And I think we'd love to use them, but they do come with a cost. And so I think for many individual occupational therapists, those are kinds of activities that feel well beyond their practice competence and their ability. And I think that's actually totally fair. I would say, however, that that's where occupational therapists can and should turn to their professional associations, because it truly is a mandate of a professional association to advance knowledge about the profession, to promote it, and to ensure that it has the visibility and access that is required to enable the profession to meet the needs of the people who need their services. So I think you would look at associations like OSOT, for example, to take on those larger scale marketing initiatives.
I was going to say, I feel like OSOT has done a few in the past. So, like, can you give us maybe an example of something that OSAD's done to promote OT in Ontario?
Sure, I can give you a few, and maybe I'll start with the development of a public-facing website that we call otontario.ca. And, you know, it's a funny thing, but if there's not some place on the World Wide Web that people can go and learn about the basics of OT, it's difficult to use other types of advertising because your call to action to get more information needs to be accessible. So OT Ontario provides a place where anybody can go and learn more about OT. They can also find out about how to access an occupational therapist, and they can contact the association for even more information if they need it. And that was a pretty critical piece for us. It's also been the framework around which we've had both television advertising and more recently a more significant investment in digital marketing, where we're literally posting videos or commercials on websites or in Google, and attracting eyes, so to speak, from browsers on the web who are attracted to learn more about OT through our advertising.
That's interesting. I never really think of having to sort of advertise OT, but it is something that's important, and especially when you're trying to raise awareness about OT and what we can offer.
So true. And I think that, I mean, in all honesty, an association is a community of people who share a common goal and a common interest. And I think you've labeled a pretty common goal of most occupational therapists, which is to have their profession known and understood more fully.
So we have our associations out there supporting us, promoting us, but how can we support our associations in that?
Well, you know what, Lindsay? I think you do it already. In fact, membership in an association is probably the first action of promotion, advocacy, and commitment to advancement of a profession. It doesn't have to be a big step. It can just be a membership fee. Because to be honest, as we've talked, marketing costs dollars. And frankly, we're a pretty small profession. So pooling our resources as a community of therapists who are concerned enables us to magnify the impact of our promotional activities. That doesn't mean that that's all we do through an association. In fact, I might suggest that another way to promote occupational therapy is to really look at ensuring that there is access to occupational therapy services for those who need it. And though we might not call that marketing or professional promotion, we'd call that advocacy. And I think it's always valuable to think about advocacy as a way of promoting the profession too, because to be perfectly honest, if everyone in the world knew what occupational therapy was and wished to access it, but they couldn't access it because the health system didn't provide funding for it, or there were too many regulations or hoops and bounds to get to it, it wouldn't really matter as much that people knew about it. We're more concerned that people can know access and access it and benefit from the services of occupational therapists.
That's interesting. That's the whole piece also too. One example is the extended benefits, because I think if you, for example, have this package of benefits and you see OT, you're going to want to use it. So you're like, what is OT? Like, I want to use this benefit that I have through my work, or, oh, I have naturopath, I'm going to go see them and use it. So I think that's like an example of how advocating for OT to be included is a way of almost promoting it, because people are like, I'm going to go use this.
Well, you've just nailed one of the biggest priorities of Ontario occupational therapists, which is to achieve coverage of occupational therapy services and extended health benefit programs. So we're actively working to advocate on that. But I can give an example that might be helpful just to think about how advocacy is promotion. Back in 2010, family health teams, which are interprofessional primary care teams didn't have occupational therapists on them. And so the association took action to inform and educate and influence policymakers at the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care. And we were thrilled in 2010 when occupational therapists were funded in family health teams. And just as you suggested, their coverage in extended health insurance programs increases awareness. So too does being able to see an occupational therapist when you go into your family health team. Yeah. And have needs that an OT could meet. That also brings awareness and understanding of the profession.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like these are all things sort of that are happening on the bigger scale. But I'm just wondering, is there anything that we can do, especially as new grads, on an individual level to promote the practice in addition to being a member of our association?
Absolutely. I think there's lots of things that the individual can do. And, you know, the first thing is actually doing exactly what you're doing now, I think, Lindsay, which is to be wondering about it, to be thoughtful about your role as an individual occupational therapist and what that might be vis-a-vis promotion of the profession. I think that we need to realize that frontline clinicians are probably the foot soldiers that are interacting with the public more than anyone else in the profession. And mm-hmm. while marketing and radio and TV ads can try to hit a market, the individual occupational therapist is literally interacting with a target audience every day. So, I don't know, you can probably think of some ways that you could begin to develop the kinds of professional habits that just kind of build promotion into your day-to-day interactions yeah. with clients.
I think one of the things I've been working on is my elevator pitch of what OT is, because every single person in my family is like, they're so happy for me and they're like, oh, you're almost graduated, that's amazing, but I don't even think they fully understand what I do. So it's using that elevator pitch to be like, this is OT in a nutshell, which is hard because it's so broad and we do so much, it's hard to kind of summarize it quickly. But also going back to that example of the client who's like, oh, how are you enjoying physio? Like, that was a moment where I could have educated and I didn't. And I'm not going to do that again moving forward. I've learned my lesson.
Well, I think taking advantage of every teachable moment, mm-hmm. you've heard that expression, I think that applies to this as well. So when you think about engaging with a client at your very first interaction, your introduction of yourself, how do you introduce yourself to a new client? You know, hi, I'm Lindsay and I'm your OT, or I'm Lindsay, I'm your occupational therapist. Do you know what that is? And taking that moment to not only clarify that Lindsay is the occupational therapist, and we have to recognize that many of our clients will need to hear that message more than once.
Yeah, that's very true.
And to be thoughtful about that. We're often meeting our clients when they're in their most vulnerable situations, mm-hmm. From a health perspective, but also they're meeting all these new professionals who have perhaps a distance of power relation. And so it's not always easy to keep things all straight. So yeah. Reinforcing and reminding everyone who you are and what it is you do, what your title is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes occupational therapists develop little handouts that they leave with clients. And think about the value of that in extending your introduction mm-hmm. to their family. Because often you're not meeting the family when you're assessing your client, yeah. but they want to know what's going on and mm-hmm. who is this Lindsay person that their family members speaking about and things like that.
I think that's especially important in a lot of maybe like hospital or acute care settings where people have so many people coming to visit them in the day. Like, you can't keep track of your doctor, your nurse, your physio, your OT, and it's nice that you can give them that tangible piece of paper and be like, this is who I am, this is what I do, for your reference later. And that might help them sort of keep track of that and remember who you are and what you're doing.
Absolutely. And even just being explicit about the lens with which you're looking at things. Mm-hmm. Occupational therapy may not mean a lot in terms of the two words to the client that you're introducing yourself to, but helping them understand what an occupational lens brings to your treatment planning and the services that you can offer them, looking at the kinds of activities that they need and want to do to occupy their time, and helping them see that connection can become just a routine kind of habit in how you introduce yourself to your clients. I think OTs also need to think about how they live their promotional role with the interprofessional teams that they work with each day.
Mm-hmm.
As we work in this big interprofessional system where we think everybody knows and understands us, but it's probably important to never make assumptions and to underline when you're interacting with your team members what it is about your occupational therapy perspective that brings this particular information or recommendation to the team and to the client's care.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. And also sort of going off that, I think you're always, always, always representing the profession, whether that be with your client, with your colleagues. And so potentially you might be working with someone who's never worked with an OT before, whether that be, again, a colleague or a client. And that is a really good opportunity to make a good impression and be like, I'm an OT, this is why we're amazing, this is what we can do for you. And I think that's a really cool thing to think about, even as a new grad, because I think it's scary to go into a new workplace and meet clients for the first time. Like, I'm really nervous for that as a new grad. And so just reminding myself that, okay, you know what, I have value, and this is an opportunity for me to like show what this profession's all about.
I love that you said underlining why we're amazing. And
yeah.
I'll tell you why, because I think you know, there, without saying anything about occupational therapy,
mm-hmm.
or whatever profession someone might be practicing in, I think there are inherent ways of exuding positive impressions, and therefore which can lead to more interest in a profession by being good at what we do.
No modesty over here.
And being enthusiastic and passionate about what we do,
mm-hmm.
in a positive client-centered way.
Mm-hmm.
The best kind of marketing is going to come from somebody who really is going to tout your own horn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tout your horn for you.
Yeah.
So, do you see what I'm saying? There's a difference between us saying,
mm-hmm.
I'm an occupational therapist, we're wonderful, here's what occupational therapy is all about, and a client or a policymaker or any member of the public saying, you know, this is what you might want to touch base with an occupational therapist, because they're great. You know, they do this or they do that or whatever. And that third party kind of endorsement can be extremely powerful.
That's really interesting. Yeah, actually. Well, Chrissy, you told me a really funny story when I first started here at OSOT about when you were at Western and you were lecturing students. I don't know if you want to go ahead and tell that story. I thought it was pretty...
Well, it is actually a good example of the power of third-party endorsement in a funny way, because I think I was really just trying to make the point about how others can talk for us when they have a positive experience, a strong sense of the value that we bring, and have an interest in sharing that. And so, you know, just to sort of underline the point, I asked the class just how many of them felt their father could brag about them and their professional work. And you know, let's all be frank. There's probably no one that would be out there promoting us with a
more than our
more
dads.
Passion and enthusiasm than our dads or our moms or a family member, whatever.
Yeah.
And yet, the number of hands that went up around the classroom was considerably smaller than you might think. And there was, you know, the classic little kind of nervous giggle about, uh-oh. And I think the reality is sometimes we forget that it doesn't have to be us that's promoting all the time. It could be someone else. And so ensuring that those people that will be at the right tables or be networking with other members of the public or maybe taking something to a policymaker can be a really valuable way to have our message shared. So I certainly encourage as new graduates step into the profession to think about getting that one big promoter on their side early on.
I know, I thought that was so funny. Shout out dad, but my dad's actually pretty good. So my stepmom actually had a knee replacement a couple weeks ago and my first placement was in hip and knee. And so he knows what OTs do in hip and knees. And I think that's the extent of his knowledge, but you know what? Even if someone knows what an OT does in one area of practice, I think that's awesome. And that again just goes to show that like he's talked to other friends who've gotten knee replacements and they were talking about their OTs. So that's also the other thing about having people share their experiences with OTs as well, and that third party promotion, like hearing through the grapevine, oh, when I got a knee replacement, I had an OT and this is what they did with me. It was great.
That's such a great point, Lindsay. And you know, in hearing you tell the story, I think what's really wonderful is that your father knew that it was an occupational therapist that assisted your mom to do whatever. And I think that's a good thing for us to always keep top of mind, because the great sadness would be that a terrific occupational therapist worked with your mom and that without realizing it, they come back and talk about what a great physio they had because it wasn't clear to them that it was an OT instead of a PT.
Guilty as charged. That was me on placement, exactly.
That can happen so easily. So I have a challenge for you. Well, okay. for every occupational therapist, and certainly probably a good challenge for new graduates to develop a professional habit.
Okay.
Just think when you're discharging your clients. So notwithstanding sometimes systemic issues arise and we don't have all the time in the world to make discharge exactly as we wish, but think of the optimal discharge. And you've worked with a client and you go in to bid farewell to Mr. Smith to wrap up any last details, give him some discharge resources and instructions, and to say goodbye. I challenge you to make sure that when you're doing that, you're underlining with Mr. Smith that you're an occupational therapist. And you don't have to say, I'm an occupational therapist yet one more time, but it could be as simple as saying, Mr. Smith, I've so enjoyed working through your occupational therapy program with you. And then I take it the step further and ask Mr. Smith, Mr. Smith, what has been valuable to you about the occupational therapy that we've worked on together? What have you valued? And I appreciate that for different clients, you might have to use slightly different wording, but the notion that I'm getting at is to ask your client to think about what they most appreciated about the interaction with you as an occupational therapist and their experience of occupational therapy. And you might ask why, but we learn from theory of appreciative inquiry and positivity that when people think positively about things, they're far more likely to spread the word.
Mm.
And we know from a very practical sense that people can't spread the word about something that they don't really know or understand. So if we can help people know that they've experienced occupational therapy and understood what they did with you, and have them think about what they really valued or found positive about OT, that might just be the piece that reinforces for that client that you're an occupational therapist, that you provided great opportunity for them to work on something that was important for them, and that because of occupational therapy, they were able to whatever.
I love that.
That story getting shared not only tells the person they're talking to that there's this health professional called an occupational therapist and they do this kind of thing, but it also translates to the person they're talking to that there's a real value to occupational therapy. And I suspect that in our heart of hearts, as much as we would like everyone to know what occupational therapy is and to understand it, what we would really most appreciate is to know that people value occupational therapy. And I think if we all built that little habit into our practice of client discharge, that we might begin to experience some of the recognition of what it is our clients value about occupational therapy and reinforce the potential for them to be a really assertive and positive third-party promoter.
I love that. That's actually such a great piece of advice or tip, something easily that we can include in our discharge. So that's really great. Well, thank you so much, Christy, for sharing all your wisdom and giving us examples of ways we as new grads and OTs in general can promote the profession in our everyday practice. So that's all we have for you today. But I've linked OSOT's contact information and new grad resource below. You'll also find the professional promotion tab on OSOT's website. There are so many resources out there to support your practice, so use them, we really encourage it. And this is actually our final episode of the new grad series, but please stay tuned for future podcast series from OSOT coming your way. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and comment. We appreciate any feedback that you have for us. I hope this podcast has been really helpful for you. I will be graduating, and so for all the second year OTs out there in the same boat as me, I'd like to wish you the best of luck with all of your future endeavors. You guys are going to be amazing OTs. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate your support.